All right, I appreciate you being in the class, and if you will, take two passages. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Ephesians chapter 1. I'm not going to talk to you about this bunny rabbit and the egg and all that kind of stuff. I know what time people are celebrating today is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and they claim this past Friday was Good Friday, and y'all know the situation is 24 hours in a day and a night, 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in a night, and Jesus Christ said, as Jonah, it's a sign to Israel, and the Jews require signs. And he said the only sign that he's going to give them was the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, they crucified him. The leaders of Israel and the people of Israel said, "We'll have no king but Caesar. Crucify him." They crucified him. They put his body in a tomb. He left there. It went down into the heart of the earth. Took our sins with him. And he was resurrected the third day. Now, you can't get 72 hours from Friday evening. He was crucified in the evening at 6 p.m. In the evening, Passover, evening, 6 p.m., A.D. 33. 3 days later, and 3 nights later, is 72 hours. It is impossible to get 72 hours from Friday, 6 p.m., till Sunday, 6 p.m. A.M. It's impossible. Something's wrong. Okay? The religious system don't open their eyes and study their Bible. They go by traditions of men. And I'm not concerned with traditions of men. I'm concerned with what the Bible says. I believe it means what it says. Now, there are some in the world that don't believe in the resurrection. And that's what I want to deal with a little bit this morning, about the resurrection of Christ. Why was he resurrected? Al, there's a chair up here. Well, there's another back there. Okay, y'all got these two passages? Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for the time we have here. We thank you, Lord, that we can assemble here in this building and study your word and to fellowship around it, and we pray for the business that operates here, that you meet their needs to keep the doors open. And Father, this morning we ask you to teach us and lead us by your Spirit and guide us in the way that we should go. And Father, we especially this morning we pray for those that are sick. We ask you, Lord, to be with them, to comfort them, and to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we ask you most of all to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, start with me in verse 12. Now, Paul's writing to this Corinthian church, those who first trusted in Christ. Paul said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Now listen, the resurrection is very important. Now there are most people believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, but they don't know why he was resurrected. He was resurrected for our justification. In other words, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, there is a body of believers that Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, received a message that nobody knew about. Jesus didn't preach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nor did he teach it to the 12 apostles. Paul said, a dispensation was committed unto me. Turn to chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hold Ephesians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, if I stopped right there and didn't read any further, somebody in their mind would say, well, what gospel is Paul talking about? Is he talking about the gospel in Matthew, the gospel in Mark, the gospel in the Luke? What gospel would you think he was talking about? Look at the next verse. This is very important. Verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. What gospel is Paul preaching? Gospel of Christ. Where did Paul get this gospel? Hold Ephesians 1, go to Galatians chapter 1. Might as well go ahead and take 1 Timothy chapter 1 while you're at it. Hold Ephesians 1, we'll get there in a little bit. All right, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. What gospel did Paul say he was held responsible for? Gospel of Christ. Isn't that right? All right. Listen, the 12 didn't know anything about the gospel of Christ. You understand? Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They did not know that Jesus Christ was dying for their sins. Now, they knew he was going to die. The Old Testament prophet in the Old Testament knew that Jesus Christ was going to come. They knew how he would come, that he would be a sign to Israel, and they knew how long his ministry would be. They knew that he would be crucified, but they knew he would be resurrected and received up into heaven, and he would come again at the second coming over here. And God said in the books of Jeremiah and other places, this is my covenant unto Israel when I will take away their sins. In other words, Israel's sins will be taken away over here. Israel back here repented. Acts 2, Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, not forgiveness. You understand? Remission and forgiveness are not the same thing. And don't make it the same thing. And if you go to a church that tells you it is the same thing, question their authority. Ask them where they get their authority from to say such a thing in the name of God. I mean, hey, listen, the preacher is supposed to be God's man doing what God wants him to do, not what he wants to do or what the congregation wants him to do. My job ain't to please you. My job is to get honor and glory to God and show you why Christ died at Calvary, and that's what we're going to do. And that's what I'm going to believe. I was in a store this morning. Picked up a few items. Young lady in there, I've been knowing her, and she knows me, and I've been in there several times on Sundays. And she said, what you preaching this morning? I said, well, same thing I preached last Sunday. Gospel of Christ. a gentleman in a white suit. I thought it was him when they first come in, but he didn't have white hair. Was standing in line about three behind me, and he said, "Same old business. Same old business. The business don't change. It's always centered around the gospel of Christ. And if it ain't around the gospel of Christ and what Christ did at Calvary, you might as well just forget about it. Because it ain't going to work." So, look what he says in Galatians 1, verse 11. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now listen, you can verify that in Acts 26, verse 19. In Acts 26, Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's telling King Agrippa what happened in Acts chapter 9 when the Lord appeared unto him. And he said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." In other words, Paul saw the Lord brighter than the noonday sun. And it blinded him. He was blind for 3 days. He went into Ananias. Ananias laid hands on him and healed him. Do you know Paul, when he wrote to those who first trusted in Christ, had the gifts of healing? He spoke in tongues. We don't have those gifts today. You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why that I can't lay hands on nobody and heal you? I was watching old crazy Richard Robertson again the other day. I'm going to quit watching him one day. He's standing there, and it's called the hour of not the hour of power, that's Shua's thing. The hour of healing. He said, "Somebody has got a nerve running down your leg. God's a healing you." He said that somebody else has got congestive heart failure. God is healing you right now. Now listen, God can do anything he wants to, but not by the laying on of men's hands. That dispensation's gone. It's over with. When the Jew became Lo Amni, and I don't care what Van Ampe says, I watched him this morning. I'm going to have to quit him already. Jack Van Ampe, he said, "We're the bride of Christ." We're not the bride of Christ, beloved. The bride of Christ doesn't show up over here until Revelation, and that's after the rapture of the church. The body of Christ is filled up with his righteousness. We are his righteousness according to Ephesians chapter 1, and we fill up his body. When the body is full, there's no need for us to stay here, because God knows the last person that he knew before the foundation of the world. We'll say that's the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God knew every person. Now you listen to me. He knew every single one of us that would trust Christ as our personal Savior, believing that Christ died for your sins. He baptized you by the Spirit, not by water, by the Spirit into his body. Now you are the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ. How? 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There ain't no water won't put you in there. Paul told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the gospel that he preaches now, he said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Now he didn't tell the 12 not to baptize. And you just read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, "I didn't get my gospel from these men here." Go back to Galatians chapter 1 now. Verse 12. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That ain't the church, the body of Christ. You understand? Paul's the first member in the church, the body of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the head of it. Here's the head. Here's the body. Each member is a member of his body. Beloved, when that body was resurrected in A.D. 33... based on God's foreknowledge, according to Romans chapter 8, he's already glorified me. I'm just as, watch out, Alan. I'm just as glorified as the Lord is right now. Not in the flesh now. You understand? I'm still in the flesh that I was born with. But in Christ, I'm glorified. In Christ. It's a spiritual term. This is a spiritual body. In this spiritual body, and I'm looking here, there's males and females in here, and I know some of you have heard your testimony that you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're still male or female. But in the church, the body of Christ, there is no male or female. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no bond of free. We're all one in Christ. Now, we're not all one on the earth. We're all one in Christ. And that body was resurrected in A.D. 33 based on God's foreknowledge, knowing who would trust Christ as their Savior. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. You got 1 Timothy. Hold it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1, we're starting Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Two groups of people there. You understand? Did y'all see that? If you need to talk about it, let's talk about it. There's two groups of people, and they're not Jew and Gentile. Jew has already been put into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. One body. You understand? So the Jew and the Gentile, those who first trusted in Christ, are already in that body. But right here, you got two groups of people. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, comma, and to the faithful. Two different groups of people. Now, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, all both groups of people, all of them together, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him. When? From or before? Before the foundation of the world. How did he choose you before the? Did he go through and say, well, I want this one to be saved, and I'm going to send that into hell? You know, there's a teaching that's like that. I was at Cottage Hill Baptist School over there, and there were some parents coming to me and said there was a sixth grade teacher over there teaching the kids that some of them couldn't be saved and some of them could, because God predestinated them not to be saved. Boy, ain't that terrible? They told me, said, why don't you go talk to them? I done talked to them people over there about the salvation and about what they believe over there. They asked me, said, why don't you go with us and have a meeting with this man and confront him about this? I said, look, y'all got worse problems than that. We have. I said, yeah, you ain't got the Bible over here. I said, you got a facsimile of the Bible. They're using New King James, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Got lies in it, omissions in it, changes in it, and God does not change. You understand? He does not change. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as they have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Here we go. Are we predestined? Did he predestine all of y'all to be saved, or all of you go to hell?
According to God's foreknowledge.
Y'all want to, let's ask God about this? Oh, you place in, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and let's ask God to answer this question for us. It won't take but just a second. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Who did he predestinate? Those he foreknew. You understand? Listen, if God don't know me and didn't know me before I was born, he don't know nothing. You understand? I'm worshiping a God that don't know anything. I'm not worshiping some Buddha or some idol or something somewhere that can't talk, see, or hear, or walk. I'm worshiping the Creator of heaven and earth, and he knew me before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated me to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? Because he knew I would trust Christ as my personal Savior. He knew when I was going to. I didn't. He didn't wake me up in the middle of the night and say, "All right, it's time for you to get saved." No, you get saved by what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. What did Paul preach? Paul preached that when Christ died at Calvary, he died for all your sins. Your sins ain't your problem. If a man goes to hell now, it's because of unbelief. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid the debt. The debt is clear. Now watch what he says. Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate." Who did he predestinate? Those that he foreknew. "Them he also called." Now, I want to stop right there. How did he call you? Did he call you by the message in John chapter 10, John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me"? How did he call you? By the gospel of Christ. Now, we're going to have to hold a place here, and we're going to have to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. One verse. I know you're holding a lot of stuff, but we can handle it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. Paul said, "My gospel," three times in Romans to Philemon. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. "My gospel." Paul said, we read in Galatians 1, "I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man, but by revelation." And he verifies that it was a heavenly vision. Paul was persecuting people that believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. He persecuted the church of God back here. Now, and by the way, Paul is a blasphemer. And you know a blasphemer can't be saved under the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, "You speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in this world to come." Paul spoke against the Holy Spirit in Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and 8. He consented unto his death. Paul's a blasphemer. So Paul got saved by the dispensation of grace, by the grace of God. Now, watch what he says here. Go back to Romans chapter 8. How did he call you? By Paul's gospel. Now, verse 30, Romans 8, verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified." Are we justified?
Yes.
How did you get justified? Did you have to work for it?
No.
Did you deserve it?
No.
I still don't deserve it, but I'm still justified. And God can't unjustify me. You understand? I cannot be unjustified. Don't let somebody tell you that you can get unjustified. Why? Look at verse 32. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who justified me? God Almighty did. Why? Because I believed in His Son that He died for my sins at Calvary. And I put my faith and trust in that, so God justified me. Now go back to verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also what?
Glorified.
Hallelujah. You're talking about resurrection, baby. You can't beat that right there. I'm already glorified. I'm waiting on my vowel body. And y'all know what the New King James does to the word vowel in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Change it, and it ain't by itself. Change from vile to lowly. So I don't believe it means the same thing. I look at a worm as being lowly, down on the dirt. I look at people being above that. Well, are we lowly or are we vile? We're vile. We're looking for the Savior at the rapture to change our vile body. Why? That it be fashioned like unto His glorious body.
Amen.
When He was resurrected in His new body. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 now. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption. How?
Through His blood.
You leave out the blood, you ain't got no redemption. We have redemption through His blood, the remission of sin. What does it say?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Are you forgiven? Well, what is the gospel of Christ then? Go to Romans chapter 1. Let's see if we can find out what gospel Paul's talking about here. Because there's more than one gospel in your Bible. Just because you see the word gospel don't mean it's all the same thing. You got to find out which. Who is your apostle? You see, if you follow Peter, we're all wrong.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now listen, you got any Jews in here?
No.
Well, I'm wrong. Then I'm supposed to be going to a Jew first? No, you see, that's where you make the division. When Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Those who Paul first preached to, those six books that Paul wrote to those people there, they were in the covenants of promise. They claimed Abraham as their daddy. They were in the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. But not so over here. Paul preached the mystery of the gospel. And in Acts chapter 18, in the temple in Jerusalem, the Lord met the apostle Paul in the temple and told him, "Get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles." Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise, beloved.
Amen.
You understand? We're not in the covenants of promise. There is no covenant promise from Genesis all the way through to, I'm going to say, Acts 28. In Acts 28, Titus and the Roman army destroyed Jerusalem, plowed it under, burned her down. Israel became not God's people, according to Hosea chapter 1. Lo am I, not God's people. But wait a minute. These Gentiles here that were in the synagogue, and whenever Paul, before Paul became a prisoner in Acts 22, he told these people about this vision here. He became a prisoner for us Gentiles. The prisoner for you Gentiles. Now, those who first trusted in Christ, Paul went into the synagogue everywhere he went in the book of Acts until he became a prisoner, and then they came to him. You understand? He was delivered to Rome as a prisoner, and he dwelt there for several years in a prison and received all that came unto him. Now, Acts 28. You're right there by the next page. Acts 28. Paul is a prisoner. He's in Rome. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Is he still teaching things that these people allied with Israel out of the prophets from morning till evening? Well, what about us over here? Go to, hold your place and go to Ephesians chapter 2. You see, I emphasized when we read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1, there's two groups of people there. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, Paul ain't included in that. He's writing to some Ephesians and telling them what they now have in Christ according to the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery which is the gospel. Paul's already been preaching that for years. Now, he's preaching the mystery of the gospel to these people here. Now, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. He didn't say that they were uncircumcised. He said, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. And that's a reference to Israel, the circumcision is. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Beloved, these Ephesians that Paul wrote to had no hope. If Paul had not had that vision in the temple in Acts 18, people such as me and you would not have any hope at all. Now, those who first trusted in Christ did have a hope. Now, all you got to do is think about something. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 11. All you got to do is think about this. Now, the context is Israel's fallen and casting away. Verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? And beloved, when you see in the 1611 King James Bible, his people, it's always Israel. You understand? It's Israel. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wouldn't you know what the scripture saith, Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saith, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars. I'm left alone, they seek my life. You can find that in 1 Kings chapter 19. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. In other words, he's got some people that did not bow to the image of Baal back here. You understand? Baal, the male deity. You need to study about Baal. His wife is Asherah, queen of heaven. Verse 5. Even so then at this present time. Here's the time. The first six books that Paul wrote. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. He wrote six books to people that were in the covenants of promise. You understand? He wrote seven books after he became a prisoner for us Gentiles. Six and seven is 13. If you study the lineage of Paul, Paul is from the tribe of Benjamin. He just told you that. Benjamin, the 15th child in the lineage of Jacob. There's a little old girl in there, and God just jumps right over that little old girl and goes to the 12th son. He's the 13th child, the 12th son. 12 tribes of Israel. 12. No tribes of Israel in here. We're all one in Christ. But over here, you go back to the 12 tribes of Israel over here. So Jack Van Ampy said this morning that we're the bride of Christ. Not so. We're the body of Christ. We're His body. Now, that's very important before we get through here this morning. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, even so then at this present time, and the actual present time is Acts chapter 20, when Paul wrote the Roman epistle. He wrote it in Acts chapter 20. And he ain't a prisoner. You understand? He's not a prisoner when he wrote this epistle here. He hasn't said. He hasn't become a prisoner until Acts 22. So by Acts chapter 20, he's already written six epistles. You understand? Now, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel, God's people, Israel have not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And that would be the prophecy of Isaiah. You can find prophecy in Isaiah in several places where Israel would be blinded. You understand? They're in the nighttime now. They don't have no sun today. Most Israelites, real Jews, don't believe in the resurrection. Y'all know that? They don't believe in the first coming yet. They think the first coming is going to be over here. But it ain't. The first coming was back here. That's why the testimony back here, whom the men say that I the Son of Man am. Some say they are Elias, and others are they are one of the prophets. He said, whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That got them in this church back here. But that won't get you in this church, the body of Christ here. Amen. The only thing that gets you in this church right here is believing on the death, burial, and resurrection for your sins. Now, watch what he says here. For time's sake, come to verse 11. I say then, have they, that's a reference to Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, I want to ask you something. I don't know when you got saved, if you're saved. You do. You know when you got saved, if you're saved. And if you ain't saved, you know that too. So if you ain't saved, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to those that are saved and know they're saved. Where is the Jew at when you got saved that you provoked to jealousy? When God Almighty said, they're low, I'm not. Go back to verse 25. Or over to verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. At least you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that ain't the times of the Gentiles. That's the fullness. We are His fullness. Ephesians chapter 1, we make up His fullness. What is that? It's His righteousness. We make up His fullness. We fill up His body with His own righteousness, which was given to me as a gift. Now, go back to Romans chapter 1. So Israel has become Lo Am now. So Paul is preaching to these people over here that are not in the covenants of promise. That ain't what he preached in the first six books he wrote. Now, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's a quotation out of Habakkuk. And in the Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by his faith. In other words, I live by his faith, not by my faith. I live by his faith. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, there's no law that can give you that. Now let's compare something. Go to Acts 2 and take... I apologize, Acts 10. I want to go to Acts 10. Take 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've been holding that for quite a while now. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Acts 10. Now in Acts chapter 10, Peter is preaching. He's preaching to a Cornelius, an Italian. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion with a band called the Italian Band. This man is not a Jew, he's an Italian. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. And he goes on to tell you, he sees this vision, and he's told to send for Peter to come over and tell him what he needs to do. Now, verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in one of another nation. Hold up for it. Wait a minute, Peter, have you lost your mind? Have you forgot what the Lord told you in Luke 16? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in is baptized shall be saved. Have you forgot what he said in Matthew chapter 28? Go preach to all the nations. What you asking this man, what you doing here, Peter? Watch what he says now. Look at the punctuation in the context, semicolon. But God has showed me. Jesus Christ didn't show Peter that, beloved. God Almighty let a sheet down with all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things on it. And God said, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has passed through my lips. Done that three times, and the sheep was received up. And through that vision, Peter knew something was changing right there. Now watch what he tells this man. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Did he say they had to work righteousness? Well, I got a problem. Then go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to have to get us a new translation, I reckon. 11. According to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and an injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Was Paul committed a glorious gospel? All right, now let's see what this gospel contains. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Are we called by our works?
No.
No, we are not, beloved. We're called by His grace. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Beloved, this is the only way Paul could be saved, is by the grace of God. Paul could not be saved under the gospel of the kingdom. He's a blasphemer. In Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. How'd He call you? By His grace. Ain't you think that? Don't you? You know, we live in the best dispensation this Bible ever talked about. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is believe. Believe. Believe what? When Christ died at Calvary, He died for your sins. That's the gospel of Christ. Take two passages. Take Titus chapter 3 in one hand and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the other hand. Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And I believe we got a lot of vain believers in churches this morning. I believe we got a lot of people that believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, but they're not trusting that for their salvation. They're trusting what they can do to accomplish their salvation. They're trusting what they can maintain, and you got to live it. Well, if I got to live it, I'm just going to die and go to hell. Because I can't live it, and you can't neither. You know why? My Bible tells me over and over and over and over, all the way through it, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, and there's none that has got to the glory of God. We've all come short of it. In this flesh, we're not good. And y'all ain't no better than I am, and I ain't no better than you. I'm worse off than you. You know why? I'm standing in the position of God Almighty, and that is awesome. That is a very, very awesome position to put yourself in. Because I'm responsible what I teach you people. If some of you get in trouble at the judgment seat, if you get there, if you're saved, you will. If you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and you and the Lord say, well, why did you do this? Well, that dumb old preacher told me to. You see, I'm responsible for the words out of my mouth. I'm going to give an account for it. It's an awesome position. It's scary. It's scary. Look what Paul says here in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Is this the gospel that Paul received? He just said he did. Moreover, it's verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 4. Now the context in Romans 4 is the faith of Abraham, believing what God said in Genesis 15 and other places, but more so in Genesis 15 than in Romans 4 here. Now, God promised him some things in verse 20. He staggered, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. His faith was imputed for righteousness to believe that God could do what He promised him He would do. You understand? Now, verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we work righteousness and do what the Lord tells us and keep the commandments.
No. No.
Your Bible doesn't say that?
No.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to quote it, and I misquoted that. Let me do that again. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, what do you got to do?
Believe.
Unbelief. Israel didn't go to the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. Over and over and over, they murmured against God back there. God killed them by the thousands. That's a bloody mess back there. God killed them by the thousands. Even the little bitty babies, they didn't even know no different. Even their animals. Got rid of all of them. Ain't you glad you live in grace? Oh, man. Verse 24 again. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Praise God. If Jesus Christ hadn't been resurrected, you're yet in your sins. Okay? Now, go with me to Titus. So I know what the gospel that Paul preached is. That Christ died for our sins. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3:4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, don't let that confuse you. John 19, Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm John 20. He bowed His head, gave up the ghost. The Holy Spirit was renewed in Him. That's what He's talking about. Now look at it again now. Not by works, verse 5, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us. What? The Holy Ghost. Which He shed on us abundantly, how? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace. Beloved, you can't beat that. I don't care where you go. The first whatchamacallit church ain't got nothing no better than what you got right there. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, He didn't tell me to live like hell, did He?
No.
Nope, He sure didn't. But do I work for my salvation?
No.
I work because of my salvation. You understand? Not for it. I've already got it. It's a free gift. Go back with me and take Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have peace with God?
Yeah.
If God mad at you, He ain't mad at you. Now, He may have to chase us every now and then. We get out of line, start bearing off over here and listening to some false doctrine or something, He may have to pull the prop out Monday of now and then get you straightened back in line over here. But God ain't in the business of making people sick. You know, I used to listen to old Jerry Falwell, and he's dead now. But old Jerry Falwell used to tell them people about bringing the tithes to the storehouse. This ain't the storehouse. God never told you to bring tithes and offerings to the storehouse. After you find out in the book of Malachi, and he's talking to the priesthood back there. The priesthood of Israel. God said today He loves a cheerful giver. You understand? A cheerful giver. If you can't give it cheerfully, don't give it. But Jerry Falwell used to tell his congregation, he said, now you know if y'all don't bring your tithes, he said, you know that old transmission's going to break down in your car and God will get you money. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute, Mr. Falwell, you going to repair their transmission? Or they going to take it to some garage? That man that repairs it may be an alcoholic. He may take that money and go buy him a bottle of wine or something. God ain't going to do that to you. Come on. You're in His grace, and you ain't getting out of it. If you're in it, you can't get out of it. It's free. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. And the context starts in verse 1, but I'm not going to read all of it. We don't have time. But I'm going to read part of verse 12 and down a little bit. In Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Are we in the kingdom of His dear Son?
Yes.
Already there. You know when that happened? AD 36. We were resurrected with Him. Ephesians 2 tells you. Now watch what it says. Come down to verse 14. In whom we have redemption. That's His Son. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've read that 3 or 4 times this morning, that all our sins are forgiven. They're gone. God don't see them. You know what tells you you're a sinner? The law. There ain't no law today. Now, we're not without law of Christ, but we're not under the Mosaic law. You can keep the law and die and go to hell. You know that? You can be a good law-abiding citizen and wind up in hell as a good law-abiding citizen. Come down to verse 15. Who? Reference to His Son. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. No such thing as evolution. For by Him, Jesus Christ, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, that's Christ, should all fullness dwell. Now watch verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Beloved, I'm reconciled in this Son. I have peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not because I deserve it or because I do any better than anybody else. But I'm in His grace, and He loved me before the foundation of the world. And He sent Christ to die for me. And one last thing, go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Did God love you while you were dead in your sin?
Amen.
Ain't that what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 says? Even when we were dead in sins? You mean Paul after I repented of my sins? Ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin? No, I've already got forgiveness. Why ask Him for something I already got? He's already applied that to my account. It'd be like me going to the bank, buy a car, and go down there and I'm paying the last note on that thing. And it's done away with. And next month I go back down there and I hand the man another payment. He said, what's this for? Well, I've just been doing it so long, I think I'll keep on doing it. That's foolish. Well, it's foolish to have to repent of something that God's already forgive you for. You understand? God's already forgive you your sins. Don't let your sins get in your way. Now, watch what he says here in Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, past tense, ain't that right, teacher? Hath did what? Quickened us together with Christ. Christ was quickened in AD 33, beloved. I was quickened with him based on God's foreknowledge. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 6, hath quickened us together with him, made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, beloved, if you're going to boast on anything, boast on about what Christ did for you. I appreciate y'all being here this morning.